Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO. This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Religiously themed movies are doing well, much to the chagrin of secular forces. Not only do they do well in terms of theater attendance, but the return on investment at the box office is very successful as well. One possible reason for those films' success is that they reflect real life with which people of faith can identify. One successful movie was God's Not Dead, which was based on an actual case. In the movie, a college student was told by his professor to write, "God is dead." When the student refused, his academic career was threatened by the professor. This movie now has a sequel. It's titled God's Not Dead 2. This time, the persecuted Christian is a teacher who mentioned Jesus in the classroom in response to a question asked by a student. That teacher finds herself sued by the ACLU after she refuses to apologize. Although the sequel is not based on a specific case, the movie credits at least 25 separate cases of religious persecution against Christians in the United States. Today's guests on World Lutheran News Digest are actor Paul Kuo, who reprises his role as Christian convert Martin Yip, and attorney Eric Stanley of Alliance Defending Freedom, who discusses the challenges addressed in the film.
And now today's Fast Track.
I'm Buzz Ulrich with news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Two communities, one in East St. Louis, Illinois, and the other in Fremont, Nebraska, will benefit from recently awarded grants from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod National Housing Support Corporation, doing business as Lutheran Housing Support, as part of its Helping Hand initiative. In East St. Louis, a community with a shrinking economic base where more than 33% of households are below the poverty level, the grant will enable Unity Lutheran Church and its partner, the Lansdowne Community Initiative, to assist at least 8 homeowners with critical home repairs. The second grant was awarded to Trinity Lutheran Church and its partner, Rebuilding Together Platte City East. The team will provide critical repairs on 2 homes of low-income homeowners in the neighborhood of Trinity's Early Childhood Center near downtown Fremont. The Helping Hand Initiative provides resources to congregations and their community partners, providing necessary repairs on homes for low-income, disabled, and/or elderly homeowners near Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations. On April 4th, a brief was filed on behalf of the American Legion in the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, asking the court to uphold the constitutionality of the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial. Law firms Jones Day and First Liberty Institute represent the American Legion, the largest veteran service organization in the country, with approximately 2.2 million members. They erected the monument 90 years ago in honor of Bladensburg-area men who gave their lives in the First World War. The law firms won the lawsuit on behalf of the Legion at the U.S. District Court level for the District of Maryland when the court upheld the constitutionality of the monument. Following the District Court's ruling, the American Humanist Association appealed the decision to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. The group, alleging that the cross-shaped memorial violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. They are demanding that the monument be demolished, altered, or removed. Tennessee is poised to make history as the first state in the United States to recognize the Holy Bible as its official book. After nearly 30 minutes of debate, the Tennessee State Senate on April 4th approved the measure, sponsored by State Senator Steve Sutherland, with a 19-8 vote sending the legislation to Governor Bill Haslam's desk. While proponents stressed the historic significance of the Holy Book and its religious meaning, some opponents argued that the bill trivializes something they hold sacred. The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court on behalf of Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky, trying to stop a new Indiana law signed in March that bans abortion if the sole reason for the abortion is the unborn child's, quote, race, color, national origin, ancestry, sex, or diagnosis of a statutorily defined disability or potential diagnosis of a disability. A South Carolina senator wants to bar local governments from requiring businesses to let transgender people use the bathroom of their choice, saying he's taking a stand for decency and common sense. That bill, introduced this past Wednesday by State Senator Lee Bright, would also require multi-stall bathrooms on public property to be designated and used based on biological sex. It specifically includes student bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms in public schools. Senator Bright said how private businesses handle their bathrooms should be up to the owners, not the government.
World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Это всемирные лютеранские новости.
God's not dead, he's surely alive, he's living.
God's Not Dead by the Christian rock group The Newsboys is the theme song of two movies of the same name, God's Not Dead and its sequel, God's Not Dead 2. Both movies deal with oppression that modern-day Christians face in today's America. The second movie, released April the 1st, is about a high school teacher played by Melissa Joan Hart, who finds her career threatened after she mentions Jesus in a history class. She's sued by the ACLU. Although this particular incident is fictional, Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel Eric Stanley says the legal issues presented in this movie are very real.
Eric, God's Not Dead 2 is the sequel to God's Not Dead 1, which is based on an actual court case that you all followed down in Florida. This one, I understand, is actually based on a number of different court cases, and the scenario is somewhat different. Instead of involving a teacher, student being abused by a teacher, this involves a teacher who is running into problems because of her religious faith. What's happening here?
Well, the movie deals with a teacher who just simply answers a question in class about Jesus that is perfectly appropriate with the curriculum and the discussion in the high school class that's taking place. And what it's intended to illustrate are the number of cases, including the 25 cases that are listed at the end of the movie, that really illustrate the attack on religious freedom in our country. Specifically with students and with teachers, both at the secondary and at the university level, but also in the broader culture as well. We've seen attacks against pastors. I'm thinking of the Houston pastors who were subpoenaed for their sermons last year. Also, even just the cases that ADF is handling for people of faith who are just simply wanting to live by their faith, like the florist in Washington State who stands to lose her entire livelihood simply because she does not want to be compelled to participate in a ceremony that violates her faith. And so we see this attack. It's a broad-based attack on religious freedom, the right of people to live and to share their faith, and that's really what the movie illustrates.
Could you carry us through a little bit on what the movie plot is, how it works? I've read the reviews of it and, of course, read all the PR material, but I'd like to hear you tell me how the movie actually goes.
Well, the teacher actually, as I said, it answers a question in the classroom about Jesus, and the ACLU ends up suing the school and the teacher. And without giving away too much of the film, the movie actually follows the court case and what happens to the teacher as she stands for her faith, and really illustrates the point that as the teacher stands for her faith, that really victory can follow. And that's a lesson that we've learned at Alliance Defending Freedom over the years as we've represented these kinds of cases since our founding, is that through God's grace, when we stand up, we can win. And I think that's really the biggest message of the film, is to encourage Christians to stand. I truly believe that the great battles of religious freedom are going to be fought in the courtrooms of this country over the next decade or so. And Christians are going to have to decide, are they going to stand, or are they going to just kind of slink away? But when we stand and we ally together, we can win, and religious freedom can be protected.
One thing about this movie I noticed, as opposed to its the original, the God's Not Dead 1, is you attracted some pretty big name talent in this movie. Melissa Joan Hart plays the teacher who's been punished in this thing. We have Robin Givens who's in it. We have Pat Boone. We have the late Red Thompson. We have some really big name talent suddenly making an appearance in this.
Yeah, you know, it's really kind of nice to see, and I think that demonstrates the fact that there's more awareness of the battles of religious freedom and the fact that Christianity specifically is under attack in a number of these cases across the country. I've heard some people say, "Well, you're kind of, engaging in hyperbole or making that up." But the movie does list about 25 different cases at the end in the credits that are ADF cases where we fought these battles of religious freedom on behalf of students and teachers. And that just scratches the surface. I mean, if anybody wants to go to our website at adflegal.org, you can just see the number of battles that we are engaged in on a daily basis where religious freedom truly is under attack, and the right of people of faith to just live and to share their faith peacefully is under attack. So I think it's kind of a good awareness of the problem and an encouragement to Christians to stand.
And especially this being an election year, and especially given the current split on the Supreme Court 4-4 with the death of Justice Scalia, this is especially an important issue coming up for people to be aware of and know that they have to participate to defend their freedom.
Well, you know, one of our founders said that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And I think that that's really true, that if we fail to act in this generation, that religious freedom will be imperiled in the next generations to come. And we really kind of stand at really a tipping point on this issue. You mentioned the Supreme Court. Depending upon who the next justice is, issues of religious freedom could go one way or the other. And we're seeing an all-out assault from kind of the end goal of the sexual revolution, even as of, you know, this week, where we see the Georgia governor vetoing a bill or threatening to veto a bill that's a very watered-down protection for religious freedom. And so those battles are going to continue to be fought. And one of the things that I love about Alliance Defending Freedom is that the first word of our name is alliance. And that as we stand together, as we ally together, as people stand, we can win. And religious freedom can be protected not only for our generation, but for the generations to come.
God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living.
Actor Paul Kuo reprises his role as Martin Yip, a student who converted to Christianity in the first movie. Paul talks about his role and the opportunity to use his acting talent in advancing the cause of his faith. Paul, I wanted to talk to you about the movie that's upcoming right now, God's Not Dead Part 2. I saw the first movie, was incredibly impressed by it, especially by your role in it. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit how the two movies link and how you're reprising your role right now. How's it going?
They're both connected from, well, because of the thematic elements. Even though the two stories are independent of each other, the first one with the college professor, played by Kevin Sorbo, and Shane Harper playing the students, they go into a conflict where the professor requires all the students in his class to write God is dead, and Shane refuses to do so, and as a result, creates a bunch of debates in the classroom and a lot of drama that happens as a result of that, and all the people around them are affected. In the second one, we have Grace being played by Melissa Joan Hart, and she teaches a high school class, a history class, and she answers a student's question with Jesus, because that's what the question required. And as a result, because she mentioned named Jesus in the classroom, she gets sued by some of the parents in the of the students in the classroom, and that, you know, turns into a big drama and creates a lot of problems in her life. And the way it connects also is that some of our, like me, my character, affected by the first story, where I happened to be sitting in the classroom and then I became a Christian at the end of that first movie. And in the second one, my story continues on, well, now that I've become a Christian, well, what happens in my life? What do I do? And I have to deal with the drama that happens in my life. And as a result of my own personal struggle, the character struggle, he affects some of the characters within the main storyline and changes some of the outcomes of what happens at the end of the story.
And your character, as I recall, suffered greatly, great personal trauma in the first movie, estrangement.
Yeah, the first movie, my father was completely against me considering the Christianity or considering God. Like at one point, my character asked my father, saying, like, well, there's a lot of talk about God in this class, and I don't know, and you know, it feels like it may be real and stuff. And then the father said, well, what does your teacher think it is? And I said, you know, the character, my Martin says, oh, yeah, well, the teacher says God doesn't exist. And then the dad's like, well, if your teacher says God doesn't exist, then he doesn't exist. Because his father only cares about him getting a good grade and getting a degree and making lots of money. But, you know, my character, Martin, discovers more to life and more in his life than just getting good grades and doing well in school and making money. Like, you know, he's trying to find meaning in his life and in the world. And so the second movie takes this to the next place. Now that he actually has become a Christian, what happens with his relationship with his father and his family and everyone else around him? And what does he really want to do with his life? And where does he really want to go? And so in the second movie, you get to find out.
Now, I noticed the first movie was actually based on a real court case that occurred down in Florida. The second movie, as I understand, is not actually on a specific case, but there are like 25 separate cases that impacted things like teachers talking about Jesus. Is this the way that it's going?
Yeah, that's what the second movie is based off of. A lot of different cases, not a specific case, but rather a lot of different cases. And you'll see a list of those court cases at the end of the movie. Just like in the first one, you saw a lot of different court cases that also contributed to the storyline, some parts of the storyline, yes.
The fact is that there's a lot of persecution now against traditional Christianity, and this is the message that is trying to get out, and also that Christians are standing by their faith. They're saying, we have to, like Luther said, here I stand.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a lot of hostility sometimes at certain places in the country and certain element, certain parts of our life and our society that is pretty hostile to Christianity, and the movie is pointing that out. That, you know, these kind of things do happen and they do exist in certain parts of the country, and that we do want to be careful and we do want to, you know, make sure that our freedom to practice our belief is not destroyed.
Another thing that I noticed that was intriguing to me was in the past, Hollywood has tended to ignore traditional Christian beliefs. But what's happened here with the first movie, for example, there was an enormous rate of return. I think it was made for something like $2 million and grossed $60 million. Now, I'm not sure what your budget was on this, and I'm certain that you'll get a great rate of return on this. But what attracted me on this is, what interested me is that there were some really big name actors now who are appearing in this movie who were not necessarily appearing in the first movie. The late Senator Fred Thompson, of course, who was a very famous actor. Others who were in there is Robin Givens. We're looking at Ernie Hudson. We're looking, of course, Melissa Joan Hart. We're looking at Pat Boone. There are some enormously talented and well-known actors in this movie.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have a lot of wonderful actors, and they're great in the movie. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see any of the screenings yet.
Yes, I have.
They're great. And, oh, great, yeah. I've been very fortunate to be able to, and you know what I'm talking about, to be able to work with some of these and be in the same movie as some of these people. Pat Boone is just fantastic. His character is just so much fun to watch. And Melissa Joan Hart does a great job, and Jesse Metcalf, and all of them. They're just fantastic actors and actresses.
And Melissa is, of course, a dedicated Christian, has made no effort, or has been very proud to be that, and has been very upfront about her Christianity, as is, of course, Senator Thompson, as is, of course, Pat Boone. His whole career has been built on his belief. And this must be a wonderful thing for an artist to be able to combine their faith with their talent to express their love for God and for Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's a very wonderful and rare opportunity. You don't get this kind of opportunity every day, and certainly a lot of them don't end up being something that, you know, a lot of people get to watch, and, you know, we're able to share that with so many people in the world. And so it's a wonderful feeling to be able to be a part of this great movie and this thing that's happening around the world, and people, you know, really strengthening people, inspiring people's lives as a result of my creative work.
Paul, we're entering about the last minute of our interview here. What are your last thoughts on this? What's in the future now for Paul Kuo? What do you hope is going to go on? What about the movies?
I mean, I hope the movie keeps going on and do well, just like the first one, you know, inspiring people around the world. For me, personally, I mean, I have a single, Christian single, that was inspired because of my work with the movie, because in the movie I sing a little bit of Nearer My God, so I kind of got inspired to write a pop version of that song, so hopefully that should be out in a few weeks. But, you know, and then I want to keep writing more songs, and maybe, hopefully, end up in God's Not Dead 3 in the future. That would be nice if that happens.
And maybe even singing with the Newsboys, who also make an appearance in this movie, as they did in the first.
That would be my dream.
Paul, thank you so much for appearing on our program today. You've explained a lot about it, and I love the idea how you're using your God-given talents to pray for our God and our Lord. Thank you so much for appearing on World Lutheran News Digest.
Thank